In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. When Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself, alone. This is the word of the Lord. Today's gospel begins and ends with Jesus on a mountain. At the beginning, sitting with his disciples. From the heights of that mountain, he could see the multitudes coming toward him like sheep coming to their shepherd, and he had compassion on them. They had seen the signs he performed on those who were diseased, the healing of the sick, the cleansing of the leper, preaching freedom to the captives, and they wanted more. He gave them more. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. 12 baskets of leftover fragments were gathered up, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, one for each of the 12 disciples who would be his apostolic ministers. And in the sign, they would always have what they needed in the Lord's word and in the Lord's sacrament to feed the sheep. When he perceived that they wanted to take him by force to make him king, he departed to the mountain by himself, alone. He didn't come to be that kind of a king, not a bread king, not a political figure whatsoever, but the shepherd who is the Savior. In the Holy Scriptures, nothing is ever an accident. In the recorded eyewitness reports of the New Testament, and the same is true of the prophetic witness in the Old Testament, the very people, the places, the events, the narrative itself, the things that people say even when they don't realize the full extent of what they're saying, nothing happens by accident. It's amazing how many people come to the right conclusions but miss the point of the meaning, or say things that mean one thing for them, but for God they mean something entirely different. As we get closer to Good Friday, we think about the words of Caiaphas, the high priest. It is necessary that one man die for the people. He had his political motivations and agenda behind those words, but in those words, he prophesied a great truth. It was necessary that one man die for the people. So nothing is an accident. All of the details are significant, such is the case with this morning's gospel. In today's gospel, the scene takes us back to Moses in the Old Testament, the children of Israel in the wilderness. Moses went up and down the mountain to commune with the Lord so that he might faithfully speak the Lord's word to the congregation. You remember, Moses was a shepherd by trade, and now he was called by the Lord as a prophet to be a shepherd of God's people Israel. He was to lead them, so to speak, to green pastures and quiet waters, to speak of David's Psalm 23 that would come centuries later. Jesus does the same thing that Moses did. As Moses fed the congregation with manna in the wilderness, Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And even the numbers are not without meaning. The 5 books of Moses, Yahweh's word, the Torah as it was called, was that word that was believed to give life to his people. Indeed, they were to eat of that word, like we say in the collect, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word. Jesus fulfilled the Torah, every one of the five books of Jesus. The commands and the promises of those five books, he fulfilled in his person and in his work. He does what the law of God demands, and he gives what the gospel promises offer. The two covenants, the old covenant of the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus' blood, come together in the Lord Jesus to fish. Moses promised the congregation of Israel that the Lord would raise up a prophet like him. Him you shall hear. And so, in the transfiguration of our Lord, as Jesus begins to set his face to Jerusalem to suffer and die, the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. For he is the prophet greater than Moses." When Jesus came looking like Moses and doing so many of the things that Moses did, even his journeying up into the mountains, they recognized him as the greater prophet, whose very word gave life and comfort and peace and forgiveness and salvation to so many. When they had seen the sign that Jesus did, they rightly concluded, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." This is an example of people coming to the right conclusion, but missing the point. You and I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one through whom God the Father created all things and sustains the creation. We confess that Jesus is the Savior who died for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, to restore life and fellowship with God. We confess that the feeding of the 5,000 is an actual miracle that took place as he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. We confess that it teaches that Jesus is the very bread of life, the source of eternal life and salvation. "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the sum and substance of our faith. And yet we live in fear. We confess the truth so often, but miss the point, miss the implication, miss the significance that these words and this confession mean. As Paul would say, "Since God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for our salvation, will he not also, along with Christ Jesus, freely give us all things?" When the multitude, after the feeding of the 5,000, wanted to make Jesus a bread king, they missed the point. It wasn't about food in the refrigerator. It wasn't about fulfilling the appetites and the desires of the sinful flesh. It was, in this miracle, a call to faith in him and to entrust oneself entirely to him as Redeemer and Savior. Faith in Jesus. Prayers to Jesus. Following Jesus as his disciple is not about getting the stuff that our sinful, frail, sinful human wills believe we absolutely must have, and if we can't get it from Jesus, we'll find it someplace else. It is rather about learning to believe in him, to trust in him more than anything else. So the point of the feeding of the 5,000 is not to believe in Jesus and then you won't get sick, but to believe in Jesus even if you get sick and you're stripped of every other earthly thing that you might otherwise depend upon. The feeding of the 5,000 is to believe in Jesus as the source of life and salvation and peace with God that can be found nowhere else but in him who gave his life upon the cross for us. The point of the miracle is that we, starving, weak, sinful, sick sinners need Jesus, the bread of life. You see, Jesus looked a lot like Moses in the things that he did, but he was better than Moses. He did what Moses could not do, what Moses could not accomplish. Moses was called to be a kind of redeemer for the children of Israel from bondage in the land of Egypt. But Jesus redeemed us from sin, from the power of Satan, and from the eternal judgment of the law. Moses was called to trust in the Lord and to preach his word. But time and time again, Moses doubted and wasn't even certain that he believed the word that he was called to preach. Jesus never doubted, never wavered in his trust, and he always preached what the Father gave him to speak. Moses tried to intercede for the Israelites as a priest and even offer his own life for them. But he couldn't do that either. Only Jesus could make intercession between sinners and his Father. Only Jesus could offer his unblemished life as the sacrifice for the sins of the world, because this is the unblemished sacrifice of the Son of God in human flesh. Only Jesus could give his life to save rebels. Only Jesus could make atonement, payment for sin. Only Jesus could raise the dead and give the victory of forgiveness to those who believe. Only Jesus could offer his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins as the medicine of immortality and for the life of the world. Only Jesus is, as the miracle itself declares, the bread of life, the bread, the person, the flesh and blood that gives life, the prophet who is greater than Moses, the one who is the Savior of sinners, Son of God in human flesh, creator and sustainer of the universe. Since that is who Jesus is, then he can be trusted. Since that is who Jesus is, then we need fear nothing. Since that is who Jesus is, then we shall join him upon the mountain of the Lord to sing his praises forever and ever, where he will wipe all tears from our eyes, and where we will abide in everlasting comfort. Let us not confess the truth and miss the point, but cling rather in every human weakness of our life to him who is the bread of life, the Savior of the world. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.